Listen to this important message from Men's Liberty, because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places, and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. That's 888-827-7549. Call 888-827-7549.
Senate Democrat Charles Schumer is now asking Amtrak to get rid of the idea of creating new economy seating with reduced legroom.
On the heels of the summer of hell track work at Penn Station, Amtrak is considering shortening the legroom for passengers in order to save money. Senator Chuck Schumer is calling the idea right out of the airline's playbook.
Look, let me say this. When you look at the airlines, it's the last place you look for comfort, and that's why air travel is so more dispiriting than it was in the old days.
The senator is urging Amtrak to scrap the shrinking seats ideas, look at other ways of making money, and says legroom is one of the best things about Amtrak.
Amtrak should not throw out one of the best things about Amtrak and train travel. That is, you at least get a seat you can sit in and be comfortable in.
The White House declaring this Made in America Week to promote American-made products. At the White House today, a Made in America product showcase will include items made in all 50 states. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
The Drug Enforcement Administration says $1 million worth of marijuana was smuggled into the United States in vehicles manufactured in Mexico by Ford. The DEA says the weed was found in new Ford Fusions that had been built at Ford's factory in Hermosillo. The cars were shipped to a dealership in Lordstown, Ohio, about an hour southeast of Cleveland. Actor Martin Landau has passed away. Correspondent A.P. Harold has a look at Landau's career.
The actor, known for his roles in North by Northwest and Ed Wood, died Saturday after suffering complications during a short hospital stay at UCLA Medical Center. He was 89. Landau earned the Best Supporting Actor Oscar in 1994 for his role in Ed Wood. He earned Academy Award nominations for his roles in 1988's Tucker, The Man in His Dream, and 1989's Crimes and Misdemeanors. Landau also was known for his role on the Mission Impossible television series in the 1960s.
Hollywood's also remembering the late filmmaker George A. Romero, who was famous for his zombie films, starting with 1968's Night of the Living Dead. He died on Sunday in his sleep after battling cancer. And conservative commentator Ann Coulter goes after Delta Airlines on Twitter, complaining that she'd been moved out of a seat with extra legroom that she says she pre-booked. She calls Delta the worst airline in America. Delta's issued an apology to Coulter. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
All right, your local weather here at Flemington surrounding area today. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 5 p.m., otherwise sunny. High near 85. It's 80 out there right now. Chance of showers tonight, thunderstorms, mainly before 11 p.m., Tuesday, Slight chance of showers again on Tuesday night. Wednesday, it looks like a little bit of rain most of the week until probably Friday. Although it's nice and clear out there right now. The weekends, too, I guess we're getting a slight chance of rain at some point during the days. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. The Chef Bill's Table at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Getting together every Monday about this time live. And, of course, archived and rebroadcast later during the evening and weekend hours. And you can look up the shows anytime. If you want to listen a little bit, sometimes general topic matters. That's fun if you like to cook. If you like food, like beverages, like we do in our business, I've been at the restaurant there, Jake's 26 years, and been proud to and happy to serve Flemington and the surrounding area. So salsa night this past weekend, very successful, from what I understand. Of course, I was working, but you kind of see the effect. Saturday night was busy, but not as busy, obviously. I think 1,000 people, attendance was in the thousands easily for this event. It's grown pretty big. A nice variety of food vendors, really good product, and you know the downtown restaurants were set up. It really a nice festive night. Chamber Radio was there broadcasting from a remote station there, which is always a cool thing to do. And we're right, looks like the height of summer, right? Hopefully, we're waiting for the corn out of South Jersey should be ready. Still waiting for some tomatoes. Hopefully this week, our farmers will be ready with the product up around here. I think the planting got delayed. I know up in New York State, central New York, planting was very, very delayed because of rain all the time. They just couldn't get out and do it. So I guess the summer vegetables, but you know, if fall stays warm, I know we normally will have Jersey tomatoes into November, as long as we don't get frost. So keep hoping for nice, cool nights, but not too cold when it comes to fall. So right now, of course, speaking of corn, I'm reminded we've been using it at the restaurant, getting it from southern states, but we're ready for the Jersey corn. My owner Steve, he likes the white Jersey corn, and being from Central New York, of course, we had the yellow or the bicolored corn, Seneca Chief. I know as a youngster on the farm at 14, we used to harvest, worked on a farm that was primarily vegetables, and first taste of corn, you know, you always hear, well, pick it when the water is boiling and run it in and put it right in the water because the sugar or the sweetness level of the corn will drop dramatically. Just, I think, with fresh peas the same way if you buy fresh peas. It's one of the advantages of frozen vegetables. They're picked and processed right away, so it captures that natural sugar. But in the summertime, we're going to obviously use fresh corn. And that was the first time without harvesting. You know, we're picking it by hand. We weren't doing it by machine. That's a whole other world out there. Most of the corn that's grown is harvested by machine. It's a commodity, a cash crop used for many, many other things. Probably, I would say, less than 10% of the corn grown in the country goes for consumption as far as food. And a lot of the rest, if you think of you know, the ethanol that goes in our cars, you think of corn starch, corn oil, biodegradable disposable products, corn-based, of course, bourbon. When it's distilled, that was the way to kind of preserve the harvest, store the energy. But corn is one of those, we really are a corn society. And of course, in the omnivore's dilemma, Michael Pollan insists that we've become eating that way because most everything we eat is related to or combined with corn. Instead of eating many things, we're eating mainly corn, at least as far as fast food operations. So, and that's, you know, it's true. But I think in our diets, of course, summertime, really think of corn. As I say, harvesting in the field, getting a chance to pick an ear and eat it, it's still warm. You got to remember, when you're picking crops in the warm weather, they have to be chilled down pretty quickly. So I know when we used to, big, huge cooler, when the crops would come in, went in there, and there was a big hose in there, and you have to, usually you hydro cool, you use cold water. I'm sure some of the big operations might even do it in the field. Sometimes you see, we'd get cases of fresh broccoli, and for example, they would still have ice on them, just melting down just to keep things cool. But you really need to get that temperature down. Otherwise, if you pack things in a box and they're hot at the core, they're going to spoil pretty quickly. But the corn, I took, you know, peeled it back and took a bite of the sweet corn, not even cooked, and really, what a treat. Then you get convinced of the goodness of corn. Yeah, maybe the, you know, the texture is still good. Ripe ears, I mean, they're you don't really need to cook them that much. You know, when you boil the corn, it's really best is to use a little bit of milk with the water. Some people put a little sugar in. You don't need to put anything in it really, because you just want to save the texture and the freshness of that product. But eating it raw like that, I guess initially when corn was harvested, they were called green corn. It was immature, very sweet before the sugars had turned to starches. And that's what years ago, say colonial times, that's what used to cook. And now, of course, we've developed varieties, hybrids that are, when they're mature, they're still nice and sweet. But there's so many out there. There used to be a handful of varieties, and of course, through years of selective planting and breeding, and it's not, and only recently would you think of genetic modification, but in the past it was all just done by crossbreeding, and you know, you try to get the best qualities out of each plant. But now there's so many hybrids out there. But a lot of the corn, again, is used for other purposes. So the field corn, of course, that grows until it's pretty dry, and then they can thresh it or harvest it by machine and take it off the cob. And, you know, you see the combines out there, and it's, you know, amazing machines what they do. But a lot of our corn, that's, you know, it's traded as a commodity. It's a big cash crop. It's, you know, supported by crop insurance, because, you know, if you don't make your money on it, you've got, you know, thousands of acres planted. I mean, when you think of the land in this country, how much corn is grown. Apparently, even when we went to mechanization, stopped using horses to pull the plows and things like that, you didn't need to grow acres and acres of oats to feed the horses. So all that land kind of got put into corn. Soybeans is another, you know, wheat and soybeans and corn, those are the big cash crops. And again, the corn, because the corn starch that comes out of it, the corn syrup, of course, is a big sweetener, even though the high fructose stuff gets the, you know, it's a little bit too pure, a little bit too much concentrated energy. I think it's not that good to have too much of that, but I think we are going back to sugar as a sweetener anyway. But, you know, having corn syrup, you know, it's again, ways of preserving the harvest. Corn also, it cans pretty well. It was one of the early vegetables to be canned because it will retain some texture. Some people prefer canned over frozen. If I can't get fresh, I think the frozen is a good replacement because it's only blanched. It's not really cooked all the way. And by the way, if you see a corn called super sweet, it doesn't mean they've done something to it. It's actually the name of a variety of sweet corn. And depending on where you're from, which state, of course, will determine what you do with the corn and the varieties that you like. We've got a break for a couple of messages right now, and we'll excuse ourselves from the table. We'll be back, and a few of our favorite things to do with corn at Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambi's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambi's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambi's, Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
We're back at the table here at Chef Bill's Table, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So talking about corn, so first of all, obviously, boiled corn, roasted corn, grilled corn. A lot of at fairs you'll find the grilled corn with the mayonnaise and cheese on it, which is pretty cool. I guess a little spice on there. I guess they'll say a Mexican style maybe, which is okay. I mean, you want to add mayonnaise to corn. Oh, I guess go for it. It's a little trivia. Hellman's originally was made with corn oil. It was just a way to, I think when the food chemist found out how to isolate the oil, Hellman's made a nice big deal out of it, how to sell it, and put the blue ribbon seal on it, nice packaging, and that was the premier mayonnaise, and convincing homemakers not to make their own, but to actually buy it. Now it's probably soybean oil or a combination of soy and corn oil, but originally it was made with that. So maybe they are meant to go together. Who knows? Mayonnaise and corn. But I made something one time that I wanted to kind of come close to that. I needed to bring corn somewhere, and I didn't want the mess, but just having people. It's going to be a party where maybe people are eating on their laps, chairs, outside, maybe not at a table. And it's a little hard to negotiate corn cobs. Corn is, I guess, one of those things like asparagus, right? It deserves its own course. So, and I've done that too. So you have, you know, a barbecue or a cookout, and corn is being served. But the corn, you just attack it just like a harmonica, right? And enjoy. Do you do it crossways, or you do it or spin it around? I mean, there's different theories on what works better. I've seen people, I do it sometimes, I'll just scrape the corn off and eat it with a spoon. But corn is one of those things that when it's time for the corn, that's what you're eating at the time. You focus on that. Just, again, like asparagus deserves its own, it's a good side dish, but really treated properly, just plain asparagus, nice sauce or garnish, and nothing better for a vegetable course. It's funny, we serve corn as a vegetable. It's really a grain, just like wheat and other things. And over, you know, over centuries, it's evolved from the corn cob. You know, the corn has gotten bigger. It's not just a little tassel. If you think of wheat grains versus corn grains, and many styles out there. The also even, you know, back with the the natives here in this, it's a, you know, Western product, Western Hemisphere product, and the Indians had figured out how to, with the ashes and water, how to get the husk off it and make the hominy, or what's made into grits. I mean, you think of all the products that we get from corn. You know, if you haul and dry it, you've got grits. If you use the yellow part, you've got polenta, which the Italians have really embraced. Just like tomatoes, they went from this hemisphere to there, and they really... you know, it's do nice things. Polenta is a great base. We've had, I've done, my owner, he did a polenta party one time. Make a big batch of the we used to call it cornmeal mush. So you take something that sounds very ordinary, cornmeal mush, you call it polenta. Oh, that sounds pretty good. It's a nice base. You can make a variety of toppings for it. And oftentimes, polenta is considered kind of like the pasta course in sections of Italy. So it takes well with game, with sausages, good, you know, a heavier, maybe a brown sauce, maybe a red sauce too, but more of the meat sauces. But presented at a party, and actually some people just take a big board and pour it on there, and if it's made properly, it will not flow too far. And you get maybe a ragu of sausage. You could do a nice vegetable ragu, which you could actually do a mushrooms go very well, but I would do it this time of year would be a ratatouille. You have all that summer bounty coming in, especially around here, the eggplants, peppers, tomatoes, summer squash. Nice, gentle vegetable stew that we've talked about at other points at the table. It's not just eggplant and tomatoes that sometimes you get served, and they call that ratatouille. It's really a nice, well-done vegetable braise. You add the vegetables as you need to. So we get polenta, we get corn flakes for breakfast, right? All comes from corn. Corn starch, of course, a nice thickener. Corn flour, your masa, you make your tortillas, or you have the yellow corn for the yellow tortillas. Get soft ones, your gluten-free pasta is, I think, with corn and rice. Because corn does have protein in it, so there is gluten in it. It's just not wheat gluten. And it's, again, we get our ethanol. The protein when corn is processed to get the starches and sugars out, the protein that's left is what goes for the cattle feed. That's what we kind of fatten our calves up with. Instead of just on the, they'll graze on the grass for X amount of months, and then at the end, of course, put them in the feedlots and mix a little grain in the diet. Of course, you're putting protein on there, you're putting a little bit of fat in there, but really we use every part of that corn. So to simulate the kind of, I guess, a flavor of Mexican corn, I wanted to make I call it a tortilla. You can call it a corn cake. It's almost like a quiche. And I was able to, I made a couple of 9-inch pans. I call them 3-pound pans. They're basically like our takeout containers. So they're 9-inch, fairly high sides on them, and just a little vegetable spray, and the stuff won't stick. and used my old proportion, 10 eggs to a quart of cream, half and half. But in this case, what I did was, with the half and half is what I cooked the corn in. So I got a quart of half and half, two or three cups of corn, and I poached the corn in the half and half. Then you take it off the heat. You have your eggs in another bowl, beaten, not too frothy, just well mixed. What I would do is pour off, to tempt the eggs, you pour off a little bit of the hot cream into the egg mixture and whisk that in. So it kind of brings the eggs up to a warm temperature and kind of dilutes them a little bit so they're not just, they don't scramble, because you're going to put this back into the hot corn mixture. After the eggs are tempt, I take the stick blender and puree about half the mixture. You could do it in a blender or just put the stick blender, just puree, not fully. You want some pieces left in there, some kernels, but you want to grind up a little bit of the corn. Then we would add that tempt egg mixture back to the corn puree, season it, salt and pepper. I like a little onion powder, or when you're cooking the corn, you can throw some diced onion if you like that. Either way, a little chipotle Tabasco is nice, or hot sauce if you want to spice it up a little bit. You could add a little chili powder. Then I use about a half pound of Monterey Jack cheese and some Parmesan cheese, and mix that into this warm mixture. Now, once that's done, you can pour it in the greased pans, or the pans treated with vegetable spray, and bake in the oven. It could be a 350 oven. It doesn't have to be in a water bath or anything like that. And check them after about 25 minutes to half an hour. And, of course, when they stop jiggling, they're done, or when you insert a table knife in the middle and it comes out clean, it's basically you've got a nice, good quiche custard there. And let it cool off, slice it in wedges. You can microwave it if you want to heat it back up, but it gives you that easy to eat, you know, easy to transport. As I say, you can make it ahead and chill it and take it somewhere if you want to serve some corn. And actually what would make that a nice dish too is take, when the tomatoes are in, take the nice ripe tomatoes and chop them up and make a quick salsa. A little bit of diced pepper and onion, a little cilantro if you like, or basil or parsley, whichever direction you want to take it. But I like to use the Roma tomatoes, or if you're using regular ones, just take out the seeds. You need to cut them in half across their equator crosswise, and you simply take a little paring knife and kind of pull out the seeds that are in there, and then you have just the tomato flesh left. But a nice, served cold even, a nice wedge of that corn tortilla with a bruschetta or a summer salsa, not a bad idea. It gets your, and very rich too, by the way, so a little bit goes a long way. So the other big corn dish that, of course, gets a bad rap, so I think it's been over-convenienced and simplified, is succotash. I'd like to explore that. It's really, that used to be the mainstay of, again, the natives here, and in Central and South America. Everybody really had some version of it. It's basically, it would a lot of times be made with the dried corn and dried beans. It would be almost, I guess you kind of like, say, a soup consistency. Now we see succotash. It's in the freezer, and it's simply kernel corn and baby lima beans. And that's really not succotash. And a lot of people don't care for lima beans. I like them. My wife loves them. We actually look for the Ford Hook, the little starchier ones. But the corn and bean combination, think of the three sisters, that kind of combination, native, you know, Jersey and wherever there were good agriculture, the corn and the beans kind of grow together. The beans will use the corn to climb up, you know, the vines there, and then the squash provided the cover on the ground with the leaves to keep weeds and things like that from growing. And the three together give you a complete protein. It's good sustenance. So being that that was ingrained in the culture, but there's other ways we can do succotash and even kind of update it and make it lighter for the summer. We've got a break for news at the half hour, and we'll be back at the table, and we'll just update the succotash and maybe look at a corn and black bean salad and maybe a nice chowder. All neat ways to use the summer bounty. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Senate Republican John McCain's surgery to remove a blood clot from his left eye, leading to the postponement of a health care vote in the Senate this week. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell being forced to make that decision again, as we hear from Joe Gomez.
The Arizona Republican has said that he will not take part in any congressional votes for the next week, which would put the health care bill one vote short of passing after two Republican senators stated they'll vote against it.
One of those two Republicans vowing to vote no on the bill is Maine's Susan Collins.
There are many of us who have concerns about the bill, particularly the cuts in the Medicaid program, but there are other problems with the bill as well.
She speaks on ABC's This Week. She's joined in her opposition to the bill by Senate Republican from Kentucky, Rand Paul. This is USA Radio News.
Hi there. Hey, you're in the midst of summer and maybe your hair is taking a beating with swimming, etc. Right now, Ovation is offering free shipping site-wide, no minimums, no restrictions. So we've got an Ovation 6-item summer essential set, especially priced to save you over 50% off retail. And you get the Color Therapy Shampoo and Conditioner to defend against color fading and to protect against UV rays and lock in moisture. You get the clinically proven clarifying shampoo to remove over 90% of dulling deposits after just one use. And the powerful must-have cell therapy and scalp treatment. You get an Ovation wet-dry brush, essential hair oil, and a handy reusable Ovation hair bag. Everything you need, everything you buy this week, including the summer essential set, priced to save you over 50%. Shipping is free, and new customers get an additional discount on top of the specially priced summer essential set. Free shipping when you select Angie Austin Daybreak USA at checkout. Again, ovationhair.com, ovationhair.com.
If I can reach the stars, pull one down for you.
All right, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's Table, talking about corn. So succotash, and you kind of think succotash with the seasonal differences that you can do and even regional differences. Probably look at the cassoulet from France. You know, which beans do you use depends on the time of year, and depending on your region, what meats do you put in it. The procedure is always the same. It's basically a braised bean stew, but what you add to it and the type of beans will change again according to region or time of year. Same thing with succotash. You know, you see the heavier versions would always include some kind of bacon or salt pork. And you would cook the beans. The original, probably, at least in the Northeast, would be the cranberry beans. I think they're called Berlotti beans. They got little splashes of red on. They're pretty beans. In the Southwest, it would be black beans, more traditional, you know, with a black bean and corn combination. The dried cranberries in the summertime, of course, you could use fresh beans. Basically, they would cook the beans just like you're making bean soup. You've got the pork in there and the water, a little onion, and then add the dried corn if it was at the end of summer in the fall, or you know, to have the dried corn in there. It'd take a little while to cook. It would be kind of stew-like, some thickness to it. That's why when you see just the frozen limas and corn, and you say, well, this isn't a, you know, it gives succotash a bad rap. It should be something that's cooked and braised and paid some attention to. Now, we've made it, of course, kind of more of a summer. I mean, a nice, you can actually, you know, a combination of the two. So the dried, the cranberry beans, real pretty in there. Probably have to get them and cook them fresh, freshly cook them. They're dried beans. Don't know if they're available canned. But I guess you could use any kind of bean. I mean, I've used edamame. If you really want to update it, if we're talking about an updated fresh succotash, the soybeans are very nice. And again, you're getting this combination of proteins and nutrients that really it's where a vegetable, you know, often used as a side dish could actually be a main dish. Add a little cheese to it on the top or something like that, maybe some greens on the side, and got a nice meal. So you've got your beans and corn combination. Again, depending where you are, the beans you use, bacon or some kind of pork would always be in there. The southern ones, they may add okra and tomatoes in some of the versions down there. Again, depending on what's growing. So we like ours. We start and we'll scrape the corn kernels from the cob. And I know there's little devices that do that. I like to go down with the knife and then take the edge of the knife and scrape the milk out of the corn also. If you don't want, I mean, if you're making kind of cream corn or a puree or something, you can always use a box grater. But we like the kernels intact in this. So we take the nice corn kernels. Sometimes if you don't want to make too much of a mess, you take a fairly large bowl and invert a smaller bowl inside it and use that as the resting place for the corn ear, and you can come down. You're not really going to hit the bowl with the knife. Just come down, and then the corn kernels kind of, if they're going to splash or anything, it'll all stay in the bowl. That's a little hint if you don't. I do it, if you do it carefully, just one nice slicing motion on a cutting board, you really don't get that much splattering all over the place. And that besides, it's really, really the way to do it. So we'll start with our onion, and we'll saute the corn. Now, if we're using the soybeans, and those, well, fortunately or unfortunately, are normally frozen. You could probably shell some fresh beans if you wanted. If you want to use the limas, by all means, and again, we like the larger ones, or if you want to just, if you do want to cook some cranberry beans. So we got those two. We've got, I like to saute the corn. If you're doing one with, let's say you're doing edamame. So you cook those together, a little bit of salt and pepper, and you just need a little water. Now, if you scrape the corn, of course, you've got that corn milk in there, so it's going to start, it'll give it a little bit of body to it. It's not going to be thick like a soup, but it will give it some body. We like to also add cut green beans, and they can be fresh, especially this time of year. Snap the beans, cut them in half. You can blanch them if you want to save a little bit of time. Otherwise, you're putting everything together. And green beans, you know, that's your summer bean, right? Now, to even make that a better medley, I would take some zucchini and or summer squash and dice it. And that could be sautéed separately or roasted even. Give it a little bit of color. Doesn't take long to cook. But that could be roasted and folded in at the end. And as I say, you have salt and pepper. You don't need to use chicken broth. If you want to, you can. But, you know, just keep it, if you want to keep it vegetarian, just use water. Now, if you want to add a little pork, not a bad idea. Get some slab bacon. And you'll cut fairly thick slices and dice it. And this is not going to be crisped up. This is going to be boiled. So that would actually go right in with your corn to give a pork flavor if you want to add a bit of meat to it. If you want to add a little cream at the end to give it some body, by all means do. We do it when we make the mock shoe, which is a Cajun version of, I don't want to say succotash, but we're running that now. It's a nice casserole, a little bit of spice to it. For that, let's say for a batch for us, so 10 ears of corn, a couple of peppers, medium peppers diced, a small onion diced, a couple of tablespoons of garlic, and we'll actually use a fair amount of butter for this because, of course, it's Cajun, right? half pound of butter, a cup of chicken broth. So you braise that together, and then when the corn is almost cooked, we put in 3 cups of diced tomatoes, which we dice fresh Roma tomatoes. Don't have to really skin them. They're fine this way. And a couple of tablespoons of our own Cajun spice. You could use just even a little cayenne if you like, or if you have a favorite Cajun spice. Salt, and then again a little bit of cream at the end if you want to put a little fresh scallion in there at the end. Kind of your standard southern garnish there on the Cajun food. By all means, do it. And either way, this succotash, summer succotash, great vegetable, uses all summer bounty. And I guess even when the eggplants come, there's actually, you can do a skillet dish with just sautéed eggplant that's cubed up and put the corn in and just combine those two together. And we like, maybe a little brighter color than that, but, you know, it would taste good. Fresh eggplant, not the stuff that's over mature and spongy. You want that nice, firm eggplant. Still, the basis of a good ratatouille. And I think people just don't get good eggplants sometimes, and maybe that's why they don't like it. But either one of these, the mock shoe or the summer succotash, would work very well right now for a nice either side dish or the base of a main course. We've done steamed fish over the succotash. This past weekend, I got some nice Jersey black sea bass. And we leave the skin on the fillets, of course, and crisp up that skin and serve that over the mock shoe. You could put a little rice with it if you want, but it's really a kind of a starchy combination already, so either way would work. We've also done it with keeping more in the theme. We did some bronzed mako shark. Got some nice, getting ready for Shark Week, right? We got to get our revenge, so I'm going to eat those suckers. And bronzed meaning lightly Cajun, not blackened, still with the spice, but not in a cast iron, not quite as searing a pan. And it just gives that slight color and flavor to it. Good for mako because you need to cook that quickly. Mako is kind of lean. It can dry out pretty easily. So swordfish would be a little safer choice, I guess, a little more fat in the swordfish. But the mako was running, so we went with the mako. And it turns out delicious. What's another good dish? Oh, corn chowder. We've been running this weekend, couple of weeks. We get corn and we try to use it. The corn chowder, we know, because we normally we'll do a seafood chowder, we'll do a clam chowder, and people seem to like, even though we're close to Manhattan, in our restaurant at least, people seem to prefer the New England style, the creamy one. So for chowder, you've got a lot of these similar ingredients we've been talking about. You've got a red pepper, a green pepper, a small onion, a couple of cups of corn. It's about 4 ears of corn. You need a pound of potatoes. And Yukon Golds would be nice, or there's many varieties out there. You peel the potatoes or not. If they're thin-skinned, you could leave the skin on. But you want, kind of a starch. You want the starch from the potato to help thicken this up. 4 scallions chopped, maybe a little bit of celery, and pretty much saute the vegetables, just like starting any soup. Add the corn, and then you're going to use 1.5 cups of milk and 1/2 cup of cream. Now, the potatoes you can cook separately if you like. Sometimes, if I'm doing a clam chowder, I'll put the potatoes, I'll cook them in some of the clam juice that I'm going to be using. In this case, the pound of potatoes, you've got them diced. You could cook them separately to make sure they're not underdone or overdone, and then add them at the last minute after you've drained them. Because this is just, you've got a cup and a half of milk and a cup of cream, a little salt and pepper, and actually if you want to throw a little bit of butter in there. If you want it a little stretched out, you could use a little bit of chicken or ham stock. If you have a ham bone somewhere, it would help it out. And we'll add, this last week we added Julianne Hamm to it, but we've added crisp bacon, which also is nice in the chowder, just like a clam chowder. Render the bacon fat, get it crispy first. Actually use some of the fat to saute the vegetables in. Now, whether you make it real thick or not is up to you. I know in commercial food service, people expect chowders to have some viscosity. You know, we usually have to add a little, we'll either use potato starch or pureed potato or a roux made with flour and butter. If you don't want to do that, it's fine. If you want to thicken a little bit, I mean, again, the blender stick, I've found with some soups, all you need to do is puree a little bit. Just give it a couple of bursts there, and you've got enough starchy things in that soup where it'll give it some body without adding, say, if you don't want wheat in it, you want to make it gluten-free, or you don't really want it too heavy. But chowder is really just the cream and the milk combination, and that should take care of you a nice hearty chowder. Now, that would also be nice with the addition of steamed lobster, crab meat, some seared scallops floated on top, maybe a couple of nice scallops as a nice sweet garnish. Lobster and corn chowder, of course, is great. If you have some cooked lobster meat to fold in there, go for it. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back and find a couple of more things to do with our corn here at Chef Bill's Table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
At the table. I love that golf ad. The headphones, the when every time that that swipe of the ball, it goes right through your ears. First time I heard it, it startles you. And Chris, you set up that ad pretty well. But yeah, you don't get that effect unless you're in front of a huge stereo. But with headphones, it'll get your attention. Good job, Chris. So anyway, we're talking about our chowders and adding crab or lobster or seafood, some kind. Chowders also make a good base. The corn chowder would. I've done a kind of a New England style clam chowder presented with steamed clams, and then you sear or pan roast, say, a nice white cod or halibut, nice fillet fish, and present that. And the soup becomes kind of, it's one of those, you guys call it a bowl meal. But you'd have the, instead of canned clams, you have, you know, some steamed little necks, but still have your bacon, your potatoes, and a little cream. And this corn chowder would be a nice backdrop for that also. Present the meal in a bowl, and you've got your vegetables and the rest of your meal there. And either incorporating poached seafood, again, the scallops would be fine if you poached them or just broiled them. But searing them, of course, caramelizes that outside, gives it a little bit more flavor. But a nice corn chowder with could garnish with even grilled shrimp. So make that chowder into a nice meal. And speaking of shrimp, something... nice accompaniment too if you grill shrimp or smoke shrimp. Smoked shrimp's pretty cool. Done that if you have a stovetop or a wok, or even if you're cooking outside and your grill is charcoal or hardwood, you're going to get nice smoke flavor. A nice black bean salad, but we added corn to it. So you know the black bean salad or black bean salsa, you see that all over. And depending, you know, if we're making this maybe not in corn season, we might use more black beans and a little bit less corn. We'd probably use frozen corn that we sautéed or roasted off. But in this case, I'm going to make corn the star. So you can use canned black beans. Again, you only need a couple of cans. I mean, for this size batch here, you can cut the amounts in half. More about the process. But if we're using the canned beans, of course, rinse them. We don't need all that salt. It would be 4 cups of corn, 2 cans of black beans. And we need a little diced red pepper and green pepper in there. And we'll actually have 4 cups of plum tomatoes diced up. 4 cups of diced plum tomatoes. Measure them after you dice them. Again, taking advantage of the summer bounty. Now for this one, we're going to dress it with a 1/2 cup of olive oil, 1/3 cup of red wine vinegar. We'll need a couple of teaspoons of cilantro two tablespoons of chopped cilantro, 2 tablespoons of parsley, juice of a lime or 2, depending on the size and the juice content, teaspoon of oregano and 1/2 teaspoon of cumin. So you're going to put that kind of that southwestern feel to this dish. So again, you've got the little oil, oregano. It does keep fairly well. Again, the corn, you're going to either grill it or roast it, or if you want to quick cook it in a skillet, you just want to blanch it. You don't have to have it fully cooked because this is actually a salad. I mean, if I had fresh picked corn, I'd just throw it in raw, but that's me. But you might want to cook the corn a little bit. But this would be a nice basis for grilled chicken, grilled seafood, or a nice meaty fish. Again, swordfish would come to mind, or even the mako shark. But using, again, this bed of neat stuff. You've got, it kind of stands on its own because of the protein content. If you wanted to put maybe a little cotija cheese on there, the grated kind of tangy Mexican cheese. It almost reminds you of feta. Or if you want something milder, go for it. Asiago seems to be, I mean, that's my favorite. We have a sharp Asiago at the restaurant for our Caesar, but just made a pizza. I got some cremini mushrooms in and roasted them. And I had, you know, I had some fontina back there, which is a great melting cheese. And I had this Asiago that was a little bit milder, not quite as sharp. So I roasted the mushrooms. I cut them in basically quarters or sixths. Take the little stem end off, and then I wanted them in nice chunks, not slices. I tossed them with some olive oil, some sliced shallot. I use, actually, to season mushrooms, I've found that poultry seasoning is great. I know when I make a duck sal, the mushroom puree, that's what I'm seasoning. It's got sage, it's got thyme, rosemary. They're all powdered, of course. It's got all the seasonings that I would want with a nice earthy mushroom dish. You could take it another direction with some garlic and oregano, make it a little more Italian if you like because of the fontina. But I chose this other way. I used the a little bit of the poultry seasoning, salt and pepper, spread it on a sheet pan, 450 degrees, took about 15 minutes to roast. They were fully cooked, the shallots cooked, everything, you know, threw off a little bit of liquid. And then while they were still hot, I hit them with a little bit of sweet marsala, just like you would, say, sprinkle a little salad dressing over them. So that little bit of marsala then got absorbed in as they were cooling off. And used this fontina sliced. I put the cheese down first. It's a white pizza. And I like to put cheese down first, just like the old Jersey tomato pie. It really does keep the crust a lot crisper. The sauce does not soak into the crust. Unless, I mean, if you're using a pre-baked crust, it doesn't, you know, you want the sauce, you want to soften it up. But a fresh dough crust with the cheese first keeps the crust crisper, no doubt about it. So I had the fontina. I scattered about 5 ounces of these cooked mushrooms on it. This is for a 10-inch pizza. And then the shards of mild Asiago on top. And of course, baked it, and when it came out, I sprinkled fresh basil. I drizzled with our rosemary oil, although I think I'd like to use a truffle oil on this. I was thinking of a little prosciutto, putting some meat product, but I said, hey, you know, I just want mushrooms. Of course, asparagus would be nice to put on there also, some roasted asparagus. So, but just a nice white pizza, one or two vegetables, nice flavored oil, good snack, good lunch. Could be, I don't know, we're going to try to maybe make a few more pizzas there. We've got our favorites, but pizza just seems to be ongoing. You can get creative. It's just like having a sandwich, right? After all, or it's a wrap that didn't get wrapped up. Anyway, we've got to run the end of the hour. Chef Bill, we're going to sign off now and enjoy your summer. Enjoy corn in some of these recipes, or you may find some others, you know, South and Central American recipes, nice soups and nice braises, things like that to do with the corn. We'll catch you down the road. Chef Bill signing off.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Senate Republican John McCain's surgery to remove a blood clot from his left eye, leading to the postponement of a health care vote in the Senate this week. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell being forced to make that decision again, as we hear from Joe Gomez.
The Arizona Republican has said that he will not take part in any congressional votes for the next week, which would put the health care bill one vote short of passing after two Republican senators stated they'll vote against it.
One of those two Republicans vowing to vote no on the bill is Maine's Susan Collins.
There are many of us who have concerns about the bill, particularly the cuts in the Medicaid program. But there are other problems with the bill as well.
She speaks on ABC's This Week. She's joined in her opposition to the bill by Senate Republican from Kentucky, Rand Paul. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. I actually don't even think about food. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad is it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. The second month is where I saw a drastic change in the size of my stomach. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results,